Good morning. We'll be in Matthew chapter 6 this morning, verses 1 through 24. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 24. It's a section in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus spends chapter 5 talking about how to approach the law, how to understand the law, or how to reinterpret the law. In light of what he's teaching and in light of what it is that God wants. And then in chapter 6, he comes to talking about basically the personal spiritual disciplines that we practice as a way of trying to draw closer to God. And what chapter 6 is really about is making sure that we keep our motives correct. That we're not doing things in order to be seen by other people, but that we're doing these things to connect to God. And when we connect to God, then we get the reward that we're looking for. And so he's going to talk about giving, prayer, and fasting. And the reason that he picks those three are because those are basically the big spiritual disciplines that the Jews focused on at that time. It would be like if somebody asked you today, what do I need to do to focus on growing closer to God? We would say things like go to church, pray, and read your Bible regularly. Those are usually the three that we would default to with that. But for the Jews, they focused on giving to the poor, prayer in a more disciplined format than we do, and then fasting. And so that's why Jesus picks. So he doesn't just pull those out of the air. He doesn't just talk about those three things because they were on his mind that day, but he's going to the heart of when you think about the way that you address your spiritual growth and the things that you focus on now. You need to make sure that in doing those things, your motive is on being pleasing to God and being seen by God, not on being seen by others. And so there's going to be a contrast in this as well. I'm going to read verses 1 through 24 shortly here in chapter 6. But Jesus is going to focus on those who are doing things to be seen by God and those who are doing things to be seen by others. And Jesus calls that latter group hypocrites. Because they're not focused on being pleasing to God. They're focused on being seen by others. And then Jesus says, guess what? They get everything that they want. If all they want is attention from others, they're going to get that attention. But if what they want is to be drawn closer to God, they're not going to get that. Because they're not focused on that. And so Jesus is going to talk about motive in terms of where our heart is, what our focus is on, what we're really looking for. And then he says, you get what it is that you're looking for. If you're sincerely looking for God, you will get God. You'll get that reward from God. But if you're looking to be seen by others, to get their adulation and attention, you'll get that, but it stops there. You don't get God. And so Jesus, that's really where he's going to go with this. I'm going to start in verse 1 of chapter 6. And really verse 1 is the theme sentence for the rest of the teaching that he provides here. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Let's pray. Thank you, God, this morning that we have this passage to think about, and I pray as we review it here in the sermon and think about its meaning for us today, that you will help us to, each one of us here this morning, God, to evaluate our motives, to make sure that we're doing things to be drawn closer to you and to be focused on you. And God, if there's any hint in our lives that we are doing things with the sole purpose of being seen by others, I pray, God, that you would show that to us and help us to address that this morning. Help us to find a way of turning away from that desire and repenting from it, and then turning to you with humility and in obedience. Help us, God, to set it as the goal of our lives to continually be drawn closer to you. Help us to grow in humility and to use spiritual disciplines like prayer and Bible reading and worship as ways of helping us connect to you and learn more about you so that we can be drawn closer to you. We thank you that Jesus taught us these things. We thank you that he left us an example. We thank you that he died for our sins, and that through him we can have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life awaiting for us one day with you. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So my earliest memories, of course, I grew up going to church from the earliest age. My parents always went, and so I was in and out of church buildings multiple times a week. And so my earliest memories, of course, then were focused on seeing what different people did. And I want to be real careful in the sermon this morning that we understand that what we're talking about here is not whether or not we do things that end up being seen by others, but what our motive is when we do those things. Because there's always going to be an aspect in which we do something and somebody's going to see it in one way or the other. I mean, we don't really have the personal types of things where Jesus is talking about, you know, when you give, when you pray, when you fast, do these things in private. A lot of what we end up doing is public, and it's seen by others. And so I'm not saying, and Jesus isn't saying, that we don't do something if it's going to be seen by others, but we need to be careful about what our motive is. It's our motive that matters, not the action itself. And so I preface what I was about to say with that, because my earliest memories were of seeing different men in particular in the church who did this or that thing. They'd be up front teaching a class, they'd be up front leading singing, they'd be up front leading prayers, or it might be one of the deacons who I knew was going to help somebody with a particular thing. And so my idea was, as a young boy growing up, thinking about the people who did the most were the most godly. And I thought that way because that's just how it seemed to me as it was coming along. Why would this person sit over there not doing this while this guy seems like he's carrying all the weight? And I'm not saying that I was right to be thinking that. That's just where my mind went as I was trying to process this and learn about what Christian life was. But you can see, just as I'm sharing that, how deceiving that can be, because the person that I did not see doing anything in public may have been very active in private. And the person who was very active in public may have had absolutely the wrong motives behind it. They may have been doing all of those things in order to be seen by other people. And so when we start to think about that and how we process what it is that we see, and when then we try to apply that to the church, sometimes we see that translates into a wrong idea about what we should be about. And we get focused on doing things, on filling gaps. Sometimes that bleeds over into making sure that somebody knows that we're filling that gap, that somebody saw that we picked up the slack in that area, because we want a little bit of the attention that comes with that. And it's not always negative, or we're not always operating out of an ulterior motive when that happens. But sometimes, maybe we are. And we need to be careful to think about what is our motive when we're doing what it is that we're going to do. You know, a confession time. Sometimes I'm working on a sermon during the week, and I'm really proud of it. I really like it. I got an idea on Tuesday, and I was able to work with it all week, and I'm really impressed with the product that I bring up with me here on Sunday morning. And then guess what? The sermons that I'm the most proud of when I come up into the pulpit are the ones that I feel like bomb the most. And then the ones when I come up here and I'm feeling like, I don't know about this one, those are the ones that tend to come across the best. And I think to apply that what I'm saying to myself, you know, when it comes to motive, when I'm coming up here with some sense of pride over what I put together, my motive is wrong. And I think my feeling that the sermon bombed that day is perhaps God saying to me, less pride, more attention to me. Which is what happens when I come up here really, really worried about, I don't think this thing's going to come together today. And then God says, trust me, and everything works out. And so I think that's what Jesus is getting at here when he comes to this section in chapter 6. Do we trust him? Do we trust God? Do we rely on God, or are we relying on ourselves? And so he comes at that through three different ways. And he looks at the way that they traditionally have tried to connect to God through giving to the poor, through prayer, and through fasting. And he starts out by saying to them, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So what Jesus is addressing in this section is reward. What when we do something, we want a particular result from it. Are we going to get the result that we want? And Jesus actually says, yes, you will get the result that you want. But the result that you want is based on what your motive is. So if you decide that you want to go out and become known as a religious superstar, and then you're going to do the things that are going to get you that recognition, then guess what, Jesus says? You're going to get that recognition. But at the end of the day, you're going to find out how empty that really is. But if you want to do the harder work of growing in humility, practicing obedience, letting go of sin and pride and ego and being drawn closer to God, and so you practice these things to be seen by God in secret where he sees the true intent and nature of your heart, if that's what you want, then you'll get that result too. You will be drawn closer to God. And that's why Jesus is talking about this in terms of reward and then humility and hypocrisy. Because those are the two poles that we find ourselves circulating around and focusing on. Whether we have humility to bring ourselves before God to learn from him, or whether we're practicing hypocrisy by doing what we do in order to be seen by others. Jesus doesn't really see that there's a middle ground there. Because there's really not. What he's saying is, the minute you begin shading into, I want to be seen doing this, you start to lose that focus on God. And once you begin practicing humility before God, then your intentions of being seen by other people, it just loses its luster. You don't care about that anymore. And that's the thing. That's why so many times in the Gospels, when we see controversy over the disciples arguing about which one of us is the greatest, and Jesus appears to answer that question, what he's really saying is, when you start to walk in the way that I spell out for you, in the way that I've laid out for you, you realize that question about being great, it doesn't really matter anymore. And you become great because you become focused on me, Jesus is saying. And all those ideas about becoming great in the eyes of others, they just fade away. And he's teaching that from a different direction here in chapter 6. In Matthew. And he's saying, if you want to be focused on how others perceive you, how others see you, on the recognition you get from others, then go ahead and you'll get it. But there's nothing left. But if you want to let all of that go and focus on being drawn closer to God, then you'll grow, you'll gain humility, and you'll get that reward. And the reward itself is God. So Jesus says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And then he goes on to address these three things. So he says, when he talks about giving to the needy, And some of your Bibles probably say almsgiving. It was a technical way of giving to the poor. That's what he's talking about. They would find ways of taking their resources, of tithing their resources according to the law, in order to give to the poor. This was a way that they believed they could be honoring to God. This is a way that they believed they were being obedient to God. Not only were they being obedient to God with the resources that God had given them, but they were using those resources in obedience to help and serve another person. So this was a good thing. When they did this, they were able to be humble in doing so, but some not so. Because Jesus identifies that there are some that he calls hypocrites who did so with a lot of fanfare. They didn't quietly go and find somebody that they could help and give some money to as a way of helping them out and serving them. Jesus says, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. So Jesus says, when you give to help another person, you can do so with humility, knowing that you're obeying God and serving somebody else, or you can do so to be honored by others. And Jesus says, when you do that, you've received your reward in full. And what's that full reward? Getting that honor that you wanted from somebody else. But where's God in that? Nowhere to be found. And that's the distinction, that's the difference that Jesus is making this whole time. When you do things to be seen by other people, you're about as far away from God as you can be. When that's your motive, to gain honor and recognition by appearing to be spiritual. See, that's what Jesus is really getting at here. And this is why I said this is not about doing something that somebody else oversees or somebody else happens to see that you were able to give to somebody else in need. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about when you use a spiritual means to boost yourself in the eyes of others. When you appear spiritual, when you appear religious for the sake of building your image in front of other people. That's why Jesus says this is so damaging. Because you give somebody else the wrong idea, while at the same time living in a way that's about as far away from God as it can get. And he says that's why you've received your reward in full, because it stops right there. There's nothing further. God isn't there. That's why he goes on and says, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And that's the theme running throughout all these three things. Do this in secret. And he doesn't mean nobody's ever going to see. And obviously you can't give in a way with your left hand so that your right hand doesn't know what you're doing. But what Jesus is saying is keep things between you and God. Just keep them between you and God. Now obviously, if you give money or an item or something to another person, they're going to know that you were the one, in most cases, who gave them the money or the item. Unless you figure out some way of letting it be totally anonymous. So Jesus, he doesn't have a problem with that. He doesn't have a problem with somebody knowing what you did. His problem is when your motive is, I want this person to know that it was me that helped them, or I want that group or this person over here to know that I stepped in and took care of that issue. And the question that Jesus is asking is, why do you care about that? Why do you even care? If what you care about is God and being humble before him and loving him and serving him as he calls and leads you to serve others, if that's what you're worried about, if that's where your concern is, then why are you concerned about what somebody else thinks? And then he touches on that in prayer as well. He talks about in prayer, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by others. And then he talks about those pagans that use these rambling words, these rambling phrases. They think that by many words God will hear them. And Jesus says, it's not like that. But when you pray, go off by yourself and pray in secret where others aren't seeing you, where they're not overhearing the complicated phrases and jargon that you're using. And pray to God in secret, because that prayer, that communication is between you and God. And we don't pray to be heard or seen by others. We don't pray so that somebody else looks at us and says, wow, how spiritual that person is. That prayer was amazing. You know, that if that's why we're praying, then Jesus says, you've got the reward you want. Somebody else is looking at you as being super spiritual because they loved how you prayed and they saw that you prayed. And Jesus says, but that's not what we want. If our Father is unseen and we want to be pleasing to Him, then we've got to start thinking about how are we going to do these religious deeds in ways that are unseen to bring glory and honor to Him. It's between us. Us and God. And then He comes to fasting. He says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. And so in each of these three cases, Jesus has pointed out how the hypocrites do things in order to be seen by others. That's their motive. But Jesus contrasts that by saying, your Father is unseen, so when you pray, when you give, when you fast, do it in a way that keeps it between you and Him. Now, it's likely that when they were fasting for the right motives, to be drawn closer to God, to be pleasing to Him, somebody would have known. Because there was just ways that they dressed, there were ways that they did things that would have indicated somebody who's paying attention, that person's fasting. Jesus doesn't care about whether or not somebody knows what you're doing. What He cares about is your motive in doing what you're doing. That's why He says about fasting, or when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. But Jesus says, when you fast, don't let it be obvious to somebody else. But He doesn't say they'll never know. He says, don't do it so that others know. Don't let that be your motive. He talks about, again, so that it will, verse 18, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. So in three cases, He contrasts the hypocrites who do things to be seen by others with those who live in humility, who do things to be seen by God, and they receive the reward they're looking for, which is God Himself. That growing, deepening relationship of faith where the humility that we're living out is seen by God, respected by Him, and He helps us with what we're seeking for as we're seeking to draw closer to Him. Or we can be like the hypocrites and live to be seen by other people, and Jesus says that's fun for a while, but then it runs out and you've got nothing left. It's gone. There's nothing stable or sound behind that kind of way of life. It's good for now, but then it's gone because there's no substance to it. The only substance that there is with God. He's the one that has saved us. He's the one that has given us everything that we have. He is the one who has looked out for us for so many thousands of years before the world was created. God Himself came up with a plan of salvation because He knew that we were not going to be able to find our way to Him without barriers in the way. And those barriers are called sin. And Jesus has identified some pretty serious sins in this passage. We don't always think of it in this way. But if we think back to the issues that were even in the Garden of Eden, we know that at the heart of those issues were pride. We think we know better than God does. We think that we know better than God. And Jesus says, why else would you run around trying to be seen by others? Because you're not even thinking about God. But God, in His infinite wisdom, created a plan involving His Son, who would come to earth, and Wally was touching on this in his Lord's Supper talk, left everything behind to come to earth, to take on the form of a man, to be a servant, to serve us by dying for our sins, so that we could be baptized into His name and receive the forgiveness of sins, the Holy Spirit, the gift of eternal life, to be added to His people, to be given work to do for Him. See, our whole lives change with God. Because we don't live for ourselves anymore, we live for Him. He calls us into a new way of life. And when we're baptized in the name of Jesus, we join up with that new way of life. And that's why the focus is on humility and not hypocrisy. Because in that new way of living, we're totally focused on God. And we let go of all of our pride and our arrogance and our ego, because we don't want those barriers between us and God anymore, because with thankfulness and gratitude, we realize what God has done for us. And then we let our lives be changed and transformed by that good news. And that's why Jesus talks about this. And that's why he says in verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Then he throws in that jab about money, but it's not really about money. It's about whatever's there that gets in the way of us serving God completely. And when we understand the gospel, when we understand what God has really done for us, we let go of all pride and all pretense, all idols, all arrogance. We just let it go because we want to serve God. And Jesus has shown us how to do that in this passage. He's taught us about the way of humility. He's modeled that way of humility. He's left us that example. He's given us that teaching. We see it in his life when, with humility and in obedience, he laid down his life for us. And he calls us to follow in his footsteps with that example. Not ever serving two masters, but only serving one master, him. And if you're here this morning and need to begin that journey of faith, or if you need to be restored to that journey of faith, whatever the case may be, if you need to discuss baptism or be baptized this morning, if you need to seek prayer, whatever the case may be, please let us know what your spiritual need is by coming forward as we stand and sing.